Wednesday. I'm still grounded from playing video games, so Manny has been using my system. Mom went out and bought a whole bunch of educational video games, and watching Manny play them is like torture. And the cartoon shows Manny watching a little children's video and the voice saying, "What number comes after two and rhymes with tree?" And Manny thinks, and Greg's behind him so impatient going, three. The good news is that I finally figured out how to get some of my games past Rowley's dad. I just put one of my discs in Manny's Discovering the Alphabet case, and that's all it takes. And Rowley's dad lets them go through. Thursday. At school today, they announced that student government elections are coming up. To be honest with you, I've never had any interest in student government. But when I started thinking about it, I realized getting elected treasurer could totally change my situation at school. And the cartoon shows Manny, Greg sitting behind his desk with a sign on it that says treasurer, and some cheerleaders come in. "We cheerleaders are tired of riding to games in the same bus as the nerds in the band." And Greg says, "Let me see what I can do." And then the next cartoon shows Greg leaning against a limo with a big bow on the front and the cheerleaders being so excited. And even better, the next cartoon shows football players and one of the football players saying, "We jocks just need an air pump to inflate our only football." And Greg says, "Yeah, sorry, I can't help you with that." Nobody ever thinks about running for treasurer because all anyone ever cares about are the big ticket positions like president and vice president. So I figure if I sign up tomorrow, the treasurer job is pretty much mine for the taking. Friday. Today I went and put my name on the list to run for treasurer. Unfortunately, this kid named Marty Porter is running for treasurer too, and he's real brainy at math, so this might not be as easy as I thought. I told Dad that I was running for student government, and he seemed pretty excited. It turns out he ran for student government when he was my age, and he actually won. Dad dug through some old boxes in the basement and found one of his campaign posters. And then there's a picture of the poster with a picture of his dad on it, and it says, "Integrity, honesty, know-how, vote, Frank Heffley for secretary." I thought the poster idea was pretty good, so I asked Dad to drive me to the store to get some supplies. I loaded up on poster board and markers, and I spent the rest of the night making all my campaign stuff. So let's just hope these posters work. Monday. I brought my posters into school today, and I have to say, they came out pretty good. And there's a picture of some of his posters. The first one, "Do you want Marty Porter to be your treasurer?" And it shows Marty walking along carrying a money bag with money falling out of the bag. "Hey, you're dropping all your money, our money, you fool." And then the next poster says, "Remember in second grade how Marty Porter had head lice?" And there's a picture of Marty scratching his head. "Do you really want him touching your money?" I started hanging my posters up as soon as I got in, but they were only up for about 3 minutes before Vice Principal Roy spotted them. Mr. Roy said you weren't allowed to write fabrications about the other candidates, that means made up things. So I told Mr. Roy that the thing about the head lice was true and how it practically closed down the whole school when it happened. But he took down all my posters anyway. So today, Marty Porter was going around handing out lollipops to buy himself votes, while my posters were sitting at the bottom of Mr. Roy's trash can. I guess this means my political career is officially over. October. Monday. Well, it's finally October, and there are only 30 days left until Halloween. Halloween is my favorite holiday, even though Mom says I'm getting too old to go trick-or-treating anymore. Halloween is Dad's favorite holiday, too, but for a different reason. On Halloween night, while all the other parents are handing out candy, Dad is hiding in the bushes with a big trash can full of water. And if any teenagers pass by our driveway, he drenches them. I'm not sure Dad really understands the concept of Halloween, but I'm not going to be the one who spoils his fun. Tonight was the opening night of the Crossland High School haunted house, and I got Mom to agree to take me and Rowley. Rowley showed up at my house wearing his Halloween costume from last year. When I called him earlier, I told him to just wear regular clothes, but of course he didn't listen. I tried not to let it bother me too much, though. I've never been allowed to go to the Crosslyon Haunted House before, and I wasn't going to let Rowley ruin it for me. Roderick has told me all about it, and I've been looking forward to this for about 3 years. Anyway, when we got to the entrance, I started having second thoughts about going in. And they show kids in line waiting to go in with a head on the table saying, "Good evening." But Mom seemed like she was in a hurry to get this over with, and she moved us along. Once we were through the gate, it was one scare after another. There were vampires jumping out at you and people without heads and all sorts of crazy stuff. But the worst part was this area called Chainsaw Alley. There was this big guy in a hockey mask, and he had a real chainsaw. Roderick told me the chainsaw has a rubber blade, but I wasn't taking any chances. Right when it looked like the chainsaw guy was going to catch us, Mom stepped in and bailed us out. The cartoon shows Rowley and Greg running away from a what looks like a chainsaw murderer. And the next cartoon shows Mom saying to the chainsaw man, "That's not nice," and him saying, "I'm sorry, ma'am." Mom made the chainsaw guy show us where the exit was, and that was the end of our haunted house experience, right there. I guess it was a little embarrassing when Mom did that, but I'm willing to let it go this one time. Saturday. The Crosslyon Haunted House really got me thinking. Those guys were charging $5 a pop, and the line stretched halfway around the school. I decided to make a haunted house of my own. Actually, I had to bring Rowley in on the deal because Mom wouldn't let me convert our first floor into a full-out haunted mansion. I knew Rowley's dad wouldn't be crazy about the idea either, so we decided to build the haunted house in his basement and just not mention it to his parents. Me and Rowley spent most of the day coming up with an awesome plan for our haunted house. Here was our final plan, and it shows a picture of all the areas that someone coming in would go through. There's a hall of screams with ghosts, a lake of blood, a bottomless pit, a rat tunnel, maze of 1,000 skulls, knife alley, hand hall, death slide, acid lake, and then out. I don't mean to brag or anything, but what we came up with was way better than the Crosslyon High School haunted house. We realized we were going to need to get the word out that we were doing this thing, so we got some paper and made up a bunch of flyers. I'll admit maybe we stretched the truth a little in our advertisement, but we had to make sure that people actually showed up. And the poster for their haunted house said, "Haunted House with Live Sharks," and a picture of a shark biting a boy's leg off. 32 Surrey Street, admission 50 cents, 3 p.m. By the time we finished putting the flyers up around the neighborhood and got back to Rowley's basement, it was already 2:30, and we hadn't even started putting the actual haunted house together yet, so we had to cut some corners from our original plan. When 3 o'clock rolled around, we looked outside to see if anyone had showed up, and sure enough, there were about 20 neighborhood kids waiting in line outside Rowley's basement. Now, I said our flyer said admission was 50 cents, but I could see that we had a chance to make a killing here. So I told the kids that admission was $2, and the 50-cent thing was just a typo. The first kid to cough up his $2 was Shane Snella. He paid his money, and we let him inside, and me and Rowley took our positions in the Hall of Screams. The Hall of Screams was basically a bed with me and Rowley on either side of it, and the cartoon shows both of them saying "rah, rah," and jumping out at poor Shane. I guess maybe we made the Hall of Screams a little too scary, because halfway through, Shane curled up in a ball underneath the bed. We tried to get him to crawl out from under there, but he wouldn't budge. I started thinking about all the money we were losing with this kid clogging up the Hall of Screams, and I knew we had to get him out of there quick. Eventually, Rowley's dad came downstairs. At first, I was happy to see him because I thought he could help us drag Shane out from under the bed and get our haunted house cranking again. But Rowley's dad wasn't really in a helpful mood. Rowley's dad wanted to know what we were doing and why Shane Snella was curled up under the bed, and the cartoon shows Rowley poking at poor Shane with a broom. We told him that the basement was a haunted house, and that Shane Snella actually paid for us to do this to him. But Rowley's dad didn't believe us. I admit that if you looked around, it didn't really look like a haunted house. All we had time to put together was the Hall of Screams and the Lake of Blood, which was just Rowley's old baby pool with half a bottle of ketchup in it. I tried to show Rowley's dad our original plan to prove that we really were running a legitimate operation, but he still didn't seem convinced. And there's a picture of poor Shane sucking his thumb, crying. And to make a long story short, that was the end of our haunted house. The good news is, since Rowley's dad didn't believe us, he didn't make us refund Shane's money. So at least we cleared $2 today. Sunday. Rowley ended up getting grounded for that whole haunted house mess yesterday. He's not allowed to watch TV for a week, and he's not allowed to have me over at his house during that time. That last part really isn't fair, because that's punishing me, and I didn't even do anything wrong. And now where am I supposed to play my video games? Anyway, I felt kind of bad for Rowley, so tonight I tried to make it up to him. I turned on one of Rowley's favorite TV shows, and I did a play-by-play over the phone so he could kind of experience it that way. And the cartoon shows Greg on the phone in front of the TV, and he's saying, "Wow, look at the size of that flamethrower." Oh yeah, never mind. I did my best to keep up with what was going on the screen, but to be honest with you, I'm not sure if Rowley was getting the full effect. And then it shows Rowley listening to what Greg is saying. "I bet this part is going to be funny." And Greg saying, "What? It was. I was right. It was funny." Tuesday. Well, Rowley's grounding is finally over, and just in time for Halloween, too. I went up to his house to check out his costume, and I have to admit, I'm a little jealous. Rowley's mom got him this knight costume that's way cooler than his costume from last year. His knight outfit came with a helmet and a shield and a real sword and everything. I've never had a store-bought costume before. I still haven't figured out what I'm going to go as tomorrow night, so I'll probably just throw something together at the last minute. I figure maybe I'll bring back the toilet paper mummy again. But I guess it's supposed to rain tomorrow night, so that might not be the smartest choice. And it shows Greg all wrapped up like a mummy with toilet paper. In the past few years, the grown-ups in my neighborhood have been getting cranky about my lame costumes, and I'm starting to think it's actually having an effect on the amount of candy I'm bringing in. The cartoon shows Greg without a costume, or it looks like without a costume, and Rowley in his Superman outfit, and the man who answers the door says, "What are you supposed to be?" And he says, "A cowboy." And that's because he has two baseball caps on, one with the brim facing forward and the other with the brim facing back. But I don't really have time to put together a good costume because I'm in charge of planning out the best route for me and Rowley to take tomorrow night. This year, I've come up with a plan that'll get us at least twice the candy we scored last year. Halloween. About an hour before we were supposed to start trick-or-treating, I still didn't have a costume. At that point, I was seriously thinking about going as a cowboy for the second year in a row. But then Mom knocked at my door and handed me a pirate costume with an eye patch and a hook and everything. Rowley showed up around 6:30 wearing his knight costume, but it didn't look anything like it looked yesterday. Rowley's mom made all these safety improvements to it, and you couldn't even tell what he was supposed to be anymore. She cut a big hole in the front of the helmet so he could see better and covered him up in all this reflective tape. She made him wear his winter coat underneath everything, and she replaced his sword with a glow stick. Poor Rowley. I grabbed my pillowcase, and me and Rowley started to head out, but Mom stopped us before we could get out the door. The cartoon shows Mom there with Manny, and she's saying, "I want you to take Manny with you." And Manny's dressed up as a little pirate, just like his brother. Man, I should have known there was a catch when Mom gave me that costume. I told Mom there was no way we were taking Manny with us because we were going to hit 152 houses in 3 hours. And plus, we were going to be on Snake Road, which is way too dangerous for a little kid like Manny. I should never have mentioned that last part because the next thing I knew, Mom was telling Dad he had to go along with us to make sure we didn't step foot outside our neighborhood. Dad tried to squirm out of it, but once Mom makes up her mind, there's no way you can change it. And the cartoon shows Dad and the boys outside the door, Mom's peeking at them through the window. Before we even got out of our own driveway, we ran into our neighbor Mr. Mitchell and his kid, Jeremy. So, of course, they tagged along with us. Manny and Jeremy wouldn't trick-or-treat at any houses with spooky decorations on them, so that pretty much ruled out every house on our block. Dad and Mr. Mitchell started talking about football or something, and every time one of them wanted to make a point, they'd stop walking. So we were hitting only about one house every 20 minutes. After a couple of hours, Dad and Mr. Mitchell took the little kids home. I was glad because that meant me and Rowley could take off. My pillowcase was almost empty, so I wanted to make up as much time as possible. A little while later, Rowley told me he needed a potty break. I made him hold off for another 45 minutes, but by the time we got to my grandma's house, it was pretty clear that if I didn't let Rowley use the bathroom, it was going to get messy. So I told Rowley if he wasn't back outside in 1 minute, I was going to start helping myself to his candy. After that, we headed back out on the road, but it was already 10:30, and I guess that's when most grown-ups decide Halloween is over. You can kind of tell because that's when they start coming to the door in their pajamas and giving you the evil eye. We decided to head home. We made up a lot of time after Dad and Manny left, so I was pretty satisfied with how much candy we took in. When we were halfway home, this pickup truck came roaring down the street with a bunch of high school kids in it. The kid in the back was holding a fire extinguisher, and when the truck passed by us, he opened fire. I have to give Rowley credit because he blocked about 95% of the water with his shield, and if he hadn't done that, all our candy would have gotten soaked. When the truck drove away, I yelled out something that I regretted about 2 seconds later, and the cartoon shows the kid, the teenagers in the truck, and Greg yelling, "We're calling the cops!" The driver slammed on the brakes, and he turned his truck around. Me and Rowley started running, but those guys were right on our heels. The only place I could think of that was safe was Grandma's house, so we cut through a couple backyards to get there. Grandma was in bed already, but I know she keeps a key under the mat on her front porch. Once we got inside, I looked out the window to see if those guys had followed us, and sure enough, they did. I tried to trick them into leaving, but they wouldn't budge. The cartoon shows them three teenagers out in the truck looking very angry, and Greg and Rowley inside yelling out the window, "Well, I guess now that we're safe in our own houses, you can't get us." After a while, we realized the teenagers were going to wait us out, so we decided we were just going to have to spend the night at Grandma's. That's when we started getting cocky, making monkey noises at the teenagers and whatnot. Well, at least I was making monkey noises. Rowley was kind of making owl noises, but I guess it was the same general idea. Rowley sang, "Hoo, hoo." I called Mom to get her where we were going to crash, to tell her we were going to crash at Grandma's for the night, but Mom sounded really mad on the phone. She said it was a school night and that we had to get home right that instant, so that meant we were going to have to make a run for it. I looked out the window, and this time I didn't see the truck, but I knew those guys were hiding somewhere, and we were just trying to draw us out. So we snuck out the back door, hopped over Grandma's fence, and ran all the way to Snake Road. I figured our chances were better there because there aren't any street lights. Snake Road is scary enough on its own without having a truckload of teenagers hunting you down. Every time we saw a car coming, we drove into the bushes. It must have taken us a half hour to go 100 yards. But believe it or not, we made it all the way home without getting caught. Neither one of us let our guard down until we got to my driveway, and the cartoon shows the two of them saying, "Ah." But right then, there was this awful scream, and we saw a big wave of water coming toward us. Man, I forgot all about Dad, and we totally paid the price for it. And the cartoon shows Greg and Rowley just looking like drowned rats, with Dad in his trash can going, "Whoops!" When me and Rowley got inside, we laid out all our candy on the kitchen table. The only things we could salvage were a couple of mints that were wrapped in cellophane and the toothbrushes Dr. Garrison gave us. I think next Halloween I'll just stay home and mooch some Butterfingers from the bowl Mom keeps on top of the refrigerator. November, Thursday. On the bus ride into school today, we passed by Grandma's house. It got rolled with toilet paper last night, which I guess was no big surprise. That's because that's where the boys had been hiding, and it shows a picture of her house, all wrapped in toilet paper. I do feel a little bad because it looked like it was going to take a long time to clean up. But on the bright side, Grandma is retired, so she probably didn't have anything planned for today anyway. Wednesday. In third period, Mr. Underwood, our phys ed teacher, announced that the boys will be doing a wrestling unit for the next 6 weeks. If there's one thing most boys in my school are into, it's professional wrestling. So Mr. Underwood might as well have set off a bomb. Lunch comes right after phys ed, and the cafeteria was a complete madhouse. It shows a picture of the boys all turning each other upside down, jumping on each other on the cafeteria tables. I don't know what the school is thinking, having a wrestling unit. But I decided if I don't want to get twisted into a pretzel for the next month and a half, I'd better do my homework on this wrestling business. So I rented a couple of video games to learn some moves. And you know what? After a while, I was really starting to get the hang of it. And the cartoon shows Greg and Rowley practicing. Does this feel right? Greg's on top of Rowley. Rowley's saying, yes, no, help! In fact, the other kids in my class had better look out, because if I keep this up, I could be a real threat. And it shows Greg daydreaming about throwing one of the big guys over the ring, out of the ring. Then again, I had better make sure I don't do too good. This kid named Preston Mudd got named Athlete of the Year for being the best player in the basketball unit, so they put his picture up in the hallway. And the picture shows P. Mudd, Athlete of the Month. It took people about 5 seconds to realize how P. Mudd sounded when you said it out loud. After that, it was all over for Preston, and it showed poor Preston standing looking at his picture on the bulletin board and boys pointing at him saying, P-Mud, P-Mud. Thursday. Well, I found out today that the kind of wrestling Mr. Underwood is teaching is completely different from the kind they do on TV. First of all, we have to wear these things called singlets, which look like those bathing suits they used to wear in the 1800s. And it shows a picture of all the boys looking depressed wearing those one-piece bathing suits with straps on them. And second of all, there are no pile drivers or hitting people over the heads with chairs or anything like that. There's not even a ring with ropes around it. It's just basically a sweaty mat that smells like it's never been washed before. Mr. Underwood started asking for volunteers so he could demonstrate some wrestling holds, but there was no way I was going to raise my hand. Me and Rowley tried to hide out in the back of the gym near the curtain, but that's where the girls were doing their gymnastics unit. The cartoon shows the girls peeking behind the curtain going, hee-hee-hee. We got out of there in a hurry, and we went back to where the rest of the guys were. Mr. Underwood singled me out, probably because I'm the lightest kid in the class, and he could toss me around without straining himself. He showed everybody how to do all these things called a half Nelson, and a reversal, and a takedown, and stuff like that. When he was doing this one move called the fireman's carry, I felt a breeze down below, and I could tell my singlet wasn't doing a good job keeping me covered up. That's when I thanked my lucky stars the girls were on the other side of the gym. Mr. Underwood divided us up into weight groups. I was pretty happy about that at first because it meant I wasn't going to have to wrestle kids like Benny Wells who can bench press 250 pounds. But then I found out who I did have to wrestle, and I would have traded Benny Wells in a heartbeat. Greg, you'll be paired up with Fregley here. And the picture shows Fregley, the oddest looking kid, standing on the mat. Fregley was the only kid light enough to be in my weight class. And apparently, Fregley was paying attention when Mr. Underwood was giving instructions, because he pinned me every which way you could imagine. I spent my seventh period getting way more familiar with Fregley than I ever wanted to be. The cartoon shows Fregley pinning Greg to the mat. Tuesday. This wrestling unit has totally turned our school upside down. Now kids are wrestling in the hallways, in the classrooms, you name it. But the 15 minutes after lunch where they let us outside is the worst. You can't walk 5 feet without tripping over a couple of kids going at it. I just try to keep my distance. And mark my words, one of these fools is going to roll right onto the cheese and start the cheese touch all over again. My other big problem is that I have to wrestle Fregley every single day. But this morning I realized something. If I can move out of Fregley's weight class, I won't have to wrestle him anymore. So today, I stuffed my clothes with a bunch of socks and shirts to get myself into the next weight class, but I was still too light to move up. I realized I was going to have to gain weight for real. At first, I thought I should just start loading up on junk food, but then I had a much better idea. I decided to gain my weight in muscle, not fat. I've never been all that interested in getting in shape before, but this wrestling unit has made me rethink things. I figure if I bulk up now, it could actually come in handy down the road. The football unit is coming in the spring, and they always split the teams up into shirts and skins, and I always get put on skins. I think they do that to make all the out-of-shape kids feel ashamed of themselves, and it shows Greg getting tackled, losing the football, going, ugh! If I can pack on some muscle now, it'll be a whole different story next April. And the cartoon shows Mr. Underwood saying, Greg Heffley, you're on skins. And instead of being skinny, it shows him being really muscular and popping his t-shirt so it goes into shreds. Tonight, after dinner, I got Mom and Dad together and told them my plan. I told them I was going to need some serious exercise equipment and some weight gain powder, too. I showed them some muscle magazines I got at the store so they could see how ripped I was going to be. Mom didn't really say anything at first, but Dad was pretty enthusiastic. I think he was just glad I had a change of heart from how I used to be when I was a kid. And the cartoon shows Greg and Dad saying, if you work out regularly, you can get big muscles. And Greg saying, muscles are gross. But Mom said if I wanted a weight set, I was going to have to prove that I could stick with an exercise regimen. She said I could do that by doing sit-ups and jumping jacks for 2 weeks. I had to explain that the only way to get totally bulked up is to get the kind of high-tech machines they have at the gym, but Mom didn't want to hear it. Then Dad said if I wanted a bench press, I should keep my fingers crossed for Christmas. But Christmas is a month and a half away, and if I get pinned by Fregley one more time, I'm going to have a nervous breakdown. So it looks like Mom and Dad aren't going to be any help, and that means I'm going to have to take matters into my own hands, as usual.